Okay, tonight's daf is daf chaf. But let's take it to the on the bottom of Yud Tes Amud Beis, Tanur Rabbanan, around 10 lines up. Gemara says, "Pam achas alu kol Yisrael leregel Yerushalayim." One time, the Tov Klai Yisrael was a mitzvah lila regel, one of the Yom Tovim. Lo haya lahem maim lishtos. There's no water for them to drink. Remember, it's a long trip from wherever they're coming from. There's certain halachas, the Gemara's Erevin discuss. You're allowed to on even there's the wells and on Shabbos you could go in and carry, even though you can't carry outside an Erev. There's certain cool how to build an Erev around the well in order for the Oli Regalim to drink water on their way up. So one year it happens to be there's a tremendous drought. So Halach Nachdimon Ben Gurion Etel Adon Echad. He went to a certain Gvir, wealthy individual, and Amarlo, and Nachdimon says to the Adon, Helveni Shtemasrei Mayanos Mayim Loli Regalim, lend me 12 springs of water that I could give the Oli Regalim to drink. And I will return back to you these 12 springs of water. And if I don't return the money, I'll pay 12 amounts of silver instead. They set a date to pay back. So he got the water, he gave what to drink to the Oli Regalim. Kevin Shigiazman. Once that time came that he was expected to pay back the water. Lo yardu gushamim, hadn't rained b'shachar. That morning it hadn't rained all season. So shalach lo shagarli. So he says, shagarli, o mayim o maos, shiyeshli biyotcha. So the Adon sends out to Nakdimon, send me either water, send me money. You owe me one of the two. So shalach lo adayin yeshli zman, ko ayom kulo. Plenty of time, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Shalihu b'tzarayim. But Tarayim in the afternoon, it was already 1 o'clock in the afternoon, Shalach lo, so now the Adon says to Nachdimon Ben Gurion, Shagarli, Omaim Omos, send for to me water or money Sheishli Biyotcha that I have in your hand. And Shalach lo, Nachdimon responds back, Adain Yeshli Shalos Bayom, I still have time, B'mincha, Shalach lo. And then later in the afternoon, as evening was approaching, B'mincha, Shalach lo, he sent him again, Shagarli, Omaim Omos, Sheishli Biyotcha. Same thing, Shalach lo, Adai Nishli Shos, the sun has not yet set, Biyom. Ligalag alav osa Adon, so the Adon was making fun, Amar kol ashana kula, lo yarduk shamim, the entire year didn't rain. The achshav yarduk shamim, suddenly, the last minute's going to rain, and going to give you the water that you need to pay back. He was making fun of him, that certainly wasn't going to happen. Nichnas lebeis hamerchat, so the Adon, the big gvir, went into the bathhouse, besimcha, very happy, excited to get the large sum of 12 silver amounts. Ad she'adon nichnas b'simchaso lebeis hamirchatz, nachdimon nichnas lebeis hamikdash. So as the Adon passed into the bath, I was very excited, going to relax, get a little schwitz. Nachdimon entered into the beis hamikdash. Kishu atev nisatev, he was sad, he wrapped himself in the talus, the vamen b'tfila, and began to daven. And he says, Amar the front of Ribbono Sha'olam, Galav yadu l'fanecha, it's known in front of you, shelo lechvodi asisi, I didn't do this for my own honor. Lo lechvod beis abba, asisi, not for my family's honor. Ella lechvod cha asisi. I did this for your own honor. Shehu mayim mitzuyin lo li regom. In order that be water, that there should be water for those who are traveling up to perform the mitzvah of a lila rego. Miad, immediately after saying that, niskashu shemayim b'avim. In a cloud, the sky was full of clouds. V'yarduk shamim and began to rain. Ad shenis malu shtem asrei mayanos mayim. So the 12 springs of water were full of water. The Hotziro Ad Shiyote Adon mi Beis HaMerchatz, and it overflowed until the Adon left the Beis HaMerchatz. Nakdimon Ben Gurion Yatz mi Beis HaMikdash. And Kishapagu Zebza, they met up, they crossed paths. So Amar Lo Tenlim Dami, Dmei Mayim Yoser, Sheyeshi Biyadcha. So the Adon says he demands his money. Amar Lo Yodei Ani Shelo Harish, or rather, the other way around. Tenlim Dmei Mayim Yoser, Sheyeshi Biyadcha. So I guess the Nachdimon paid back more money. So Amar Lo, he says, the Adon says, Yodiani, I know, Shelo Hirish HaKadosh Baruch Hu Olam HaOlam B'Shvilcha. I know HaKadosh Baruch Hu only shook up the world and changed it and brought the clouds and rain only because of you. But Ella, Dain Yeshi Pischam Pe'alecha. I still have a way out. I still have a, you sold me money. Why? She'otzi Mimchas Ma'asai. I could take from you my money. She'kfar Shakachama. Sun already set. And therefore, even though it rained now, it rained after the day was over, and we set a time that you have to pay by this day, and the day is already a new day. And the rain fell while it's my rishus. You still owe me the 12 kikar kesef. Yardu chazu v'nichas the base knesses. Chazu v'nichas the base megdish. So then, Nakdima went back to the base of Megdish Nisatef. He wrapped himself in the talis, Vamid Batvila. He started to daven. Perhaps this is a raya, you could wear a talis after. After put a talis on for Marv, after Shkia. Amar Fana, Ribbono Sholem, Hodei Sheyesh Lecha, Ahuvim Be'olmecha. So let it be known that you have those who love you in the world.
And the clouds dispersed, and the sun rose.
Bo'os Hashah, Amar Lo Ha'adon. So the master said, "Ilo lo nikdar chama, had the sun not risen, hayali pischampa, I would have a taina on you, alecha. Shotzi mimcha mosi, I would try to claim my money that you owe me. But now the sun has risen, I have no taina."
Umar now says, "Tana lo nakdimon shemo." His real name wasn't actually Nakdimon; it was actually Eloboni shemo.
V'lamanikar shemo Nakdimon. Why did he get that nickname? Shenikdar chama ba'avura. The sun had risen for him.
Tanur Rabban, the Brisa says famously, Shlosha Nikdama Lahem Chama
Bavur. There are three individuals who are Zocha that the sun rise for them.
Moshe, Yeshua, Nakdimon Ben Gurion. These three great Gedolim.
Bishma, Nakdimon Ben Gurion, Gemara.
So that we already saw, this is the Gemara here, there's a Masor we have, such a tradition, the Nakdimon had the sun rise for him.
Yeshua Namikra, the Pasuk says, Dechsevin Yeshua. It's written by Yidom. Hashemesh, and the sun was silent, Vayarech Amad, and the moon stood, and the pasuk continues to explain, on the side here it says, whenever there's a gomer, it's usually the continuation of the pasuk you have to read to get the full picture. So it says again, Vayidim Hashemesh, the sun was silent, Vayarech Amad, and the moon stood, Adikom Goy of Oivav, Halo Hiksuva al Sefer Hayasha, Vayamot Hashemesh, Vechatzi Hashemayim, and then the sun rose in the middle of the sky. So we see for Yeshua it also rose, when it wasn't supposed to.
There's no pasuk in the Torah that mentions that Moshe, that the sun rose for Moshe.
Samar b'yalazer asya eichel echok is a gzer shava. It says achel with regards to Moshe, and it says achel with regards to k'siv hacha. It's written here achel teis pachtecha with regards to Moshe benu, and it's written k'siv hasam achel gadalcha when it comes to Yeshua. So through this gzer shava, just like it rose for Yeshua, it also rose for Moshe benu.
Rishmul bar Nachmani Amar Asya Teis Teis. He has a different Gzeir Shava, but the same idea.
Ksiv Hacha, it says here the Pasuk, Achel Teis Pachtecha. Uksiv Hasim, it's written by Yeshua, B'yom Teis Hashem Eshel Mori.
So again, different words that are being used, but again, the same idea.
Reb Yochanan Amar Asya Megufe Dekra. The very Pasuk itself seems to indicate, from the Pasuk that describes by Moshe, it says, Asher Yishmun Shemacha, that they will hear of you, V'ragzu, they're going to tremble, V'chal Mipanech, and be scared from your face.
When will they be so scared of you?
When they see the nace, that the sun would rise specifically for Moshe Rabbeinu, that's when they would be scared. So there's already a remiss to this concept in the Pasuk.
Marna quotes from the Mishnah, the two dots, V'chein yir shelo yardu aleg shamim.
If there's a city that didn't rain for, so what was the entire line of the Mishnah that we needed here? Let's see, what was this? In the Sifta quotes the full picture, probably.
Right, if it rains on one city, but it doesn't rain on the other city, so that's a curse.
So Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, B'shein L'klala, both cities are cursed. The one that receives the water, and the one that does not receive the water, they're both cursed. Why? So Rashi says, if you look higher up in Rashi, he says, Shtein L'klala, why are both cities? I understand the one without rain, that's a klala, but what about the city that's receiving the rain? Why is that a klala?
Ekrakai is referring to the pasuk. Haydechsev al ir achas amtir, val ir achas lo amtir.
One city will bring rain, the other city will not have rain.
Shneim leklala, they're both with respect to a klala.
Also, she amtir ale rov kshamim shemakalkun is at tefu.
The one that's receiving all that rain, it's too much rain. Too much rain, of course, floods. It ruins it.
Veshelo yamtir ain kshamim vein tefu gedela.
And the one that doesn't have any rain, so nothing grows. So they're both leklala.
Pasuk says now. In Eicha, Gemara quotes the pasuk, "Ha'isal Yushlaim l'nida b'nehem," and Yushlaim will serve as a nida between them. What does this mean? So Amar of Yehuda, Amar of Libracha. This is actually a bracha. Kenida. Why is that a bracha? Why is nida a bracha? Ma nida yeshla hetta. Just like a nida, after time it should be mutter. Af Yushlaim yeshla hetta takana. So too Yushlaim, although it's destroyed now, and the base of Mikdash is destroyed now, it's like a nida that eventually she'll be permitted. Eventually, Yushlaim will be returned.
Ha'isar Kalmana, the pasuk says in Eicha, and Yushlaim is like a widow.
Amar Rav Yehuda Libracha, this too is a bracha, that the fact that Yushlaim was compared to an Amana is a bracha. How? Kamana v'lol amana mamish. Like an amana, but not an actual amana. Only a ki amana, only like a amana. What does that mean? El ki'isha shahalach baila l'midinisayam. Like a woman whose husband goes overseas. V'dayti lachsorla, but he's always going to, he's going to return. So too, that Yushalayim is like an amana, that the husband, if you will, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, has left overseas, but he's going to eventually return. He's not mamish, we are not mamish in almana. Then the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Malachi, V'gam ani asati eschem nivazim u'shvelim. I'm also going to make you into people who are embarrassed and humble, lowly. I'm Rav Yehuda Levracha. This too is a bracha. The Gemara, you see the theme here. It's quoting psukim that seems to be bad, but they actually have brachas, except for the first one we brought. But these are now a series of psukim that seem negative, but they're actually a bracha. It's a tova for us. How so? To lo mokmi minan lo rishe narev lo gizrifti. That they're not going to make from us, what does it mean, rishi nari, velo gizrifti, Rashi says. Lo mokmi minan rishi nari muhsin. They're not going to make us tax collectors. And they're not going to make this, Rashi says, gizrifti isradiotin. What does that mean in English?
Customs officials.
Customs officials, okay. These two, Rashi explains, are mirov bizayon. These are disgraceful jobs, it seems. Okay. How are we seeing this in Pasuk, though? How does this mean? How is this a bracha? Aha. Because we're disgraceful, because we're bizuyim in their eyes, they're not going to give us these positions, which is a bracha. We don't want to be in such positions. These are bad positions to be in.
Silver lining.
Right, exactly. We're finding the silver lining in all these different klalos, right? Gemara now says, quote the pasuk that's found in Melachim, actually, V'hi kashem es Yisrael kasher yonud hakanam b'mayim. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu hit Yisrael like the reed hits the water, or moves, or shakes in the water. Amar Yehuda Marav lebracha. This too is a bracha that Klai Yisrael is being compared to a kana, to reeds. How so? Damar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani Amar Yonasan Maidich. So what does a pasuk mean? Where this pasuk is also, this is a pasuk in Mishlei. Okay, again, pasuk says Ne'manim pitei ohev v'nataros nishikos sone tova klala shekilal achya shiloni es Yisrael yoseh mibracha shebirchan bilam harasha. Greater is the curse of achya that he did to us than the bracha of Bilam. How so? So Achaya Shiloni Kladim Bekana, he cursed us that we should be like a reed. Amalehem Yisrael Vikaisha Hashem Yisrael Kasha Yonurakana. He was saying this is the pasuk before in Malachi, but never had that this is the pasuk in
sorry,
which brach is this? Which pasuk? Okay. So this pasuk is this is one Mishlei. So here Achaya Shiloni is saying that it was a curse calling us like a kana. So why is that a bracha for us? Says the Gemara, Ma kana ze omid b'mokam mayim v'gozo machlif v'shirashim rubim. So a reed stands in a place of water, v'gozo machlif, and it sheds itself. The tree, the stump, it's removed each year, it grows back. But shirashim rubim, but the roots are very strong. There are a lot of roots. So the reed goes in the wind, no matter how strong the wind, it might bend all the way down, but always goes back into place. It goes along with the wind. But after all that, it stands back in place. So even though maybe the reed itself might get cut down and it grows back each season, the roots are always there and they're strong, keeping in position. It moves, it takes the hit. It takes the wind, but it always goes back in position. That's a tremendous bracha to have that. About Bilam HaRasha, Birchan, he gave us a bracha be'erez, that we should be like a cedar tree. Shinemar, the pasuk says, Karazim, we should be like cedar trees. Ma erez zeh eino omid b'makom mayim. It doesn't stand in a place of water. I imagine the connection to mayim here is referring to makom of Torah. Ve'ein gaza machlif. It doesn't, the stump doesn't take over and regrow itself. Vein shirashim rubim, it doesn't have strong roots. Afil kol ruchel shivolam noshes bo ein mazizos also mimkoma. All the winds doesn't move it. The cedar stays very strong. The tree stays in position. Nothing moves it. However, kaven shenishba baruach jomis. Once that strong southern wind comes along, el karaso and uproots it, hofachso apanav and flips it over below. There's no fixing of it. not only that, Ella Shazacha Kana Lital Hay. Fine. That's the first point. As to the bracha, it seemed to be a good bracha that Bilam made us compare. He compared us to an eretz tree, which is a wonderful thing, but it's also a klal because it also, once we get removed and destroyed, there's no coming back. Not only that, you know what another great thing is that we're compared to a kana, to this reed? El shezacha kana lital himanu kulmos lichta bo sefer Torah Nevi'im k'suvim. We use from these reeds, these are the pens that they use, to write the Sifrei Torah. Okay, Gemara says Tanya Rabbanan liyolam yehi adam rach ki kane. A person, an individual, should always be soft like a reed. Vayi kashik eres, and shouldn't be as strong, stiff, and stubborn like an eres. Ma'isa shabar Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon mimigdal gador mi base rabbo. One time he was coming back from this area, the Tower of Gador, that's the name of the place, from his Rebbe's house. Vayi rochav al chamer, he was riding on a donkey. Umetayal al sfasnar, he's traveling along the edge of the river, the riverbanks. V'sameach simcha gadol, he was very, very happy. Ha'isa daito gasalav, he was getting a little bit haughty and into himself. Mipnesha lamad Torah harbe, he learned a lot of Torah by his Rebbe's house. He's very excited, and that warrants a lot of simcha, but it got to his head, apparently. V'nizdamin lo adam echad chayim v'chur b'yoser. And along the way back home, he encountered an individual who happened to be extremely ugly. And Rashi in the top of Chafam Beis tells us, "Nizdamin lo Adam yeshvarm shekasev ben Eliyahu zachel tov, who niskavin lo chicha shel yargil b'davar." This was apparently, according to some svarim, that this was Eliyahu Navi coming to teach him a lesson. So, what was the lesson? So, Rabbi Elazar is driving, riding the donkey. He meets this very ugly person. Armalom. So the ugly person says to Rabbi Elazar, "Shalom alecha, Rabbi." He gives a greeting to his Rabbi. Lo hichzer lo, and Rabbi Elazar ignores him. Amalo Reka Kama Makur also ish. So this empty person, how ugly is such a person? Shema Kopani Al Ircha Mikhurami Kmoscha. Perhaps Rabbi Elazar says maybe your whole entire city is as ugly as you. So Amalo, so his response back to Rabbi Elazar is Ani Yodei, I don't know, Elcha, I only know you right now. Rather, Ani Yodei El Lech Vamor La Uman Shasani, but I don't know, but you go Lech go Vamor La Uman Shasani. Go tell my creator, Kama Mechur Kliza, tell him how ugly he made this particular utensil. Shasisa, that you made. Kevin Shiyadu Basma Shechata. Say, Rabbi Elazar realized he obviously made a mistake. It wasn't very nice what he did. Yarim Min Achamar, he descended from the donkey, Vinishtayech Lefanov, and he spread out in front of this individual asking for Mechila Amarlo, Nanesi Lecha Machuli, please forgive me, I apologize. Amarlo, so he says back to Rabbi Eliezer, Eini Mochel Lecha, I'm not going to forgive you, Acha Telech Leuman Shasani, go tell the master of the universe, what he did. He created such an ugly individual. V'amrlo, kama mechor klizeh, shasisa, go tell him how ugly I am. Hayimatal acharav atche higiel iro. So then he was, Rabbi Elazar was following this individual until he got to the city. Yatsu b'nei iro, the members of the city, lekraso left to go greet who? Rabbi Elazar. Hayu omrim lo shalom alecha, Rabbi, mori, mori. They started saying, Rabbi came back home, Rabbi Elazar came back home. So Amr Lahem, the Mechur, the ugly individual, said to the people coming out of the city, out of the houses, Lemiatem Karim Rebbe Rebbe. Who are you calling Rebbe Rebbe? Amr Lo, Lezesh Shematayel Acharecha, that guy who's behind you on the donkey, he's the guy who's our Rebbe. Amr Lahem, so he says to them, Azer Rebbe? If that's your Rebbe, Al Yarbu Kmosok Yisrael, there shouldn't be anyone else like him. Amr Lo, Mipay Ma, why not? He's a Rebbe, he's a great Gadol Hador. There should be many people like him. Amr Lahem, Kach V'Kach Asali. So he goes on to describe what had happened. Amrlo, so they said to him, Afa Piken, you're right, it wasn't very nice what he did, but still nonetheless, Machalo, Shalom Gadabatarahu. He's a very great individual and you should have grant him Mechila. Amrlohem, so he says to them, I'll tell you what, Bishvilchem, because of you, Chashiva City, Harini Mochalo, I'm going to forgive him, Ubivad, on one condition, Shlo Yeh Ragil Asos came. On condition that he doesn't do this ever again. Ya Nichnas Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Yishimon and Radarsh, and after that, Rabbi Elazar made the following drasha. He took the lesson to heart. And he darshan liolam yehi adam rach kikane vayehi kasher keres. A person should always be soft like a reed and never hard like a cedar. Lefikach, therefore, zacha kana litol himanu kumas. And that, for that reason, the kana was zocha to be that which is used for writing Sefer Torah, lichtol by Sefer Torah, tefillin umezuzos. A number of interesting things that come out of the story, by the way. I'm not sure why there's no issue of Lashon Hara here. When the Bechur got to the city and started telling all the people what had happened, why wouldn't that be Bechal Lashon Hara? I don't know what.
Trying to tell the Rebbe that he's not appropriate to be a Rebbe. I guess trying to keep him away from somebody who
claims to be a...
So that's the Toelis, you're saying. Uh-huh. Okay.
Embarrassing.
Right? Embarrassing. Inacham is embarrassing. The question is that going to be grounds? Lashnar is only permitted if there's a certain Toelis out of there. That was suggesting the Toelis is that he's, you know, don't use him as a Rebbe. If you know your Rebbe is doing things that are not appropriate, so then he shouldn't be a Rebbe. You also see from the response of the Bnei Ayir, we're not so happy with this response, but sometimes when a Gadol does something wrong, you try to cover it up because it's a Gadol of Torah. What to do with that, I'm not getting involved right now. I'm saying that, I'm saying the face value of this Gemara, that's what it's telling us, but obviously a lot more complicated than that. And Rebbe Elazar is much more of a Gadol of Torah than anybody else
You should learn, you
should be Rachikonim and not
Akashic Eris.
How could a Rebbe on that big of a level, like Rebbe Elazar, fall to that low level to call someone ugly, like in public, like that?
Right. So I'm not sure how. I mean, Gdolim make mistakes. Gdolim, you know, they can make mistakes. That's fine. And they could.
Commentary says that he was, the way that he approached him.
Uh huh. Interesting. Uh-huh.
So that's what he's addressing. He got offended because he was ugly, but it was, it says it was also Eliyahu and Nami to embarrass him for what he said.
Interesting. Because that's one thing, now in light of that, that's very interesting, because in the Gemara we saw earlier in the Masechta, if Yeshua was very ugly. Remember that that princess was making fun of him. Exactly. So, switch shot. So he says, no, when you're uglier, you're actually a greater Talmud Chacham. So how could Rabbi Elazar assume just because he was seemed to be physically ugly would indicate he's a Rasha or something? So therefore, that might be an interesting shot. But I'll share with you a very interesting Mesha Chachma. The Mesha Chachma writes, in, I think in Parsha Emor, that a person who has a Baal Mum indicates a certain deficiency in their Ruchnis as well. So he says, how can that be true? There are many people who have Baal Mum who are tremendous tzaddikim. So he says that Kadosh Baruch Hu made certain tzaddikim with Baal Mumim, so you wouldn't know which ones are actually ones with the ruchnis, deficiency in the ruchnis or not. But there's people who have a certain deficiency in the ruchnis have a certain physical deficiency as well. But again, in order for not people not to know who, if I'm remembering correctly, I think. But I think he said, just so people don't know who are the really the deficient ones and who are not, he made tzaddikim also to have such deficiencies. Okay, either way, but I like that. Who do they quote from that? Do they say who on the bottom is? If you don't have it, it's fine.
Oh, it's Yaakov.
In Yaakov, okay. Fine. So it wasn't a physical ugliness, it was the way he his approach. Okay. Two dots, the Gemara says now, three wide lines down, V'chein ir sheish bo dever, omapolis v'chule. There's a city that has a certain disease going around, omapolis, we said buildings or walls falling down. So Gemara says, Taner Abanan has a brisa. Omapolis sh'amru, and I think the response to this was, the Mishnah said, you have to start blowing shofars right away. And fasting right away. So the Gemara says, what's this mapolis, when a city or a wall falls down, Shamru? Birios is talking about where the walls were very strong, and they suddenly fell down, below ruos, and not where there were weak walls. Shein and ruos lipol, can't be weak walls that were ready to not fall, velo haruos lipol. A little bit confusing what's going on in this bright, so the Gemara is about to explain what this means. There's brios versus ruos, strong versus weak, and then there are those walls that are fit to fall down, others that are not fit to fall down. So Gemara wants to know, hey Neo Bereos, what's considered a strong wall? And hey Neo Shaina Ruyos Lipol, and what's considered a wall that's not fit to fall down? Isn't that the same thing? If they're strong, then by definition they're not fit to fall down. And then also what's hey Neo Ruyos, what's considered a weak wall? And hey Neo, what's considered a Ruyos Lipol that are fit to fall down? It seems to be repetitive. It should really only be two categories, not four categories. So Gemara explains Lot Shicha. It's only needed for the following. De Naflu Machmas Govhayu, where it fell only because of its height. Obviously, we know when a building gets, or a wall gets taller and taller, it's harder to keep up. So something fell because of its height. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, that's not the one we need. Is there a Rashi on this one? Lotzicha? No, there's a Rashi. So which line is this explaining what it says? The Naflu Machmas Govhayu, or Inami Dekaima Aguda Denara. Either it's very tall, or it's referring to it was on a on the riverbanks where the ground is very weak and moist. So even though it might be the wall itself might be strong material made of bricks and steel, but if it's too tall, it's going to collapse. Or if the foundation is very weak and soft, it's going to collapse as well. So that's an example of something that could fall even though it's very strong. Gemara says, Kiahi, just like a certain case, Ashisa Ru'a, Dehava Ben Harda.
there's a certain wall that is very weak in the Harda. Dilo havi chalaf Rav Shmuel Tosei. Rav Shmuel refused to pass underneath his wall. Avagav de kaima ba'asrei tlas and shana. Even though it was there for 13 years, it didn't fall down. Like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Yom achad, one day, ikle Rav Ada bar Ava. Lasa monte, one day, this tzaddik of Rav Ada visited the city. Amrle Shmuel Rav, Shmuel whispered to Rav, Nesi Mar Nakiv, let's go around. We don't want him to go into the wall either. Let's go the long way. So Amrle, Lotzi Chusana, Haidna, Dika Rav Ada bar Ava, no need to go around. We have Rav Ada, the tremendous tzaddik and tremendous zechuyos. We can go right through, take the straight path underneath this wall, no problem will happen. He's got so much zechus, there's nothing to be scared of. So Rav Huna had a certain donkey, Bahu Besa Ra'iya, that was in a certain very weak house that was, I guess, any given day could fall down. He wanted to remove all the kalim from that house before it crashed. So what did he do? He used, of course, Aila Le Ravu Adabarava. The one who was so many zechuyos, he brought him to his house, lahasim, brought him into the house, let him sit down and learn for a few hours, and mashchei mashmaisa, and he let him learn a sugya there. Adepanya, after he removed all the clothing, because we knew when Rav Ada was sitting in the house, nothing bad could happen. So he had him stationed there in the city, in the house, till he emptied out all the house. What? Which one here is? Let's see where. A certain wine, okay. He had wine in the house, which he was trying to remove. So then the Gemara says, Basa de Nafik, after he took Rav Ada outside of the house, Nafla Besa, the house suddenly collapsed the moment Rav Ada stepped out of the house. Argish Rav Ada Ba'ava, he understood what was going on, that he was being used. And Ikbad, he was very upset at Rav Huna for doing this. Savala, why was he so upset? He held like the following Shita. A person shouldn't stand in a place of danger. V'yomar and say, "Osin li nes." Kadosh Baruch Hu will do for me nes. You should never say that because Shem ain't osin lo nes. Kadosh Baruch Hu may not do a nes for you. V'im tim shalom or osin lo nes. And let's say Kadosh Baruch Hu does do a nes for you, then it's going to menachem lo mizichuyos. He's going to take away from his zichuyos. It takes off your tab. So Amar Chanan Maikra, what's the pasuk? How do you know that when a nes is performed on your behalf, you're going to lose some zichuyos? Maikra, what's a pasuk? Dichsib katonti mikol achasodim mikol emes. You know, Yaakov Avinu was so scared. I'm minimized. I'm so small from all the chasodim Kadosh Baruch Hu did. He was scared to go approach Esav. Why was Yaakov Avinu, the tzaddik, was so scared of Esav? Yes, he was scared. Then before Hashem explained this gemara here, he was scared because maybe he did Kadosh Baruch Hu did so many nisim for him. He lost all this zichuyos. There's also the pasuk. The katonti is also the source of what? Anyone else know the source of katonti? A source of humility, a nevus. Right, the Gemara says, how much a nevus should a person have, and how much a gaiva is a person allowed to have? Anybody know?
164th.
164th, right? That's the amount of gaiva. The Gemara points out, this is the 8th parsha, and the 8th word, and the 8th parsha, 8 times 8, 64. So that's also the source of that. Gemara says, my hava uvda, the Rav Ada Barava. So what was the mais of Rav Ada Barava? Ki ha de itmar. That which is said, Shalut Hamidav L'Rav Ada Ra'ava B'meh Rachta Yamim. They asked him the famous question. Many of these sugyas are found in the end of Maseches Megillah. What did you do that you deserve such a long life? So Amar Lahem, he responded back to his Tamidim, Yamai Lo Akbadidi B'Soch Besi. I never got upset in my house, ever. Not in my wife, not in my kids. Lo Tzadidi B'Fnei Misha Gadam Imeni. So what does that mean? Rashi explains what Lo Tzadidi mean. Is there Rashi here? It means he didn't support any of his rebbes, I believe so. Means walk in front of them? Okay. Well, he's walked on the side of his rebbe, but never went in front of the rebbe. The Gemara tells us that when a person walks with your rebbe, and your right person and the person on the left, you always walk a little bit behind them, not even with them. Lohi harti b'mavos b'mehabatunuafos. I never thought of Torah while I was walking through those dirty alleyways. I never thought of Torah. Lohlachti dal amos b'lo Torah b'lo tefillin. Never did I walk dal amos without tefillin on. Lo yashanti beis medrash. I never slept in the beis medrash. Lo yishinas keva, lo yishinas arai. Not a longer sleep, not a shorter sleep. Lo sasti betakals chaveru. Never did I get excited when I saw my friend get embarrassed or insulted or made fun of. Lo karasi lechaveri beachinasi. Never did I call my friend by a nickname. Some say amilei beachinichaso. So what's the difference between these two words? Rashi explains beachinasa means shemachnim lo bniadam kigon shem lovi, a nickname.
And chanichaso means kamo chanichas avos begitin asar daros. What's that second interpretation? The second definition mean? By last name.
A nickname that's a
gnai. Apparently a family name. Bad family name that was given to him. Okay, then the Gemara says, Amar le Rava, Rav from Bar Papa, Le malan mar mahani mile mal yasa davi avad Rav Huna. The answer of Papa, Rav from Bar Papa, tell us one of these. These are one of the 10 sons of Rav Papa. Tell us some of the great things that Rav Huna had done. So Amar le, so he says, Bian kusei lo dichirnai. And when I was young, I don't remember. When we were a child, I don't remember what he did. But b'sivuse d'achirna, I remember when he was older, certain things that he did. The chol yama yoma d'iva hamafkin le b'kor karka d'dhava. Every single day, when it was d'iva, where it was a cloudy day out, and it was windy out, Rashi explains, b'yoma d'iva is yom hamuna on a cloudy day. Habi ruach min hasheves, it was windy. U'mistafi d'lo tipa chamos, he's concerned that the walls would fall down. So what would he do again? He would go, mafkin lei b'goharka d'dhava. He would go around in some type of golden wagon. V'sayer lei, and he would be checking out, l'chuli masa, checking the entire city. V'chol ashisa d'havi ra'isa, any wall that looked weak. Havasaser lei, he would destroy them in order that nothing should fall and get hurt, and nobody should get hurt. Iafshar lamar b'ni lei. And if the owner, Iafshar levan mar, if the mar, the master of the wall couldn't rebuild it, Bani Lei, he would do it. If Efshar Lamara, Bani Lei, if it's possible for the master of the wall, the owner of the wall, to build it, he built it. Below Efshar, if the master didn't have the wherewithal to build it, Bani Lei, he would do that. It's Rav Huna would take out of pocket and pay for the rebuilding of the wall. The Chopani Demali Shabbos, every Erev Shabbos, have a Meshadesh Shlucha Lashuka, who send a certain Shliach out to the Shuk. And any vegetables that's left over in the shuk, he would buy it. And throw it into the river. Okay, why? Does Rashi explain? The reason was this way: the people selling the vegetables wouldn't be concerned. Wait, next week we undersold, so let's bring less next week. It's possible people are going to need more next week, and there won't be enough food. So we wanted to make sure that everybody sold all the vegetables, so that by the next week everyone continues to bring the same amount of produce. So he asks the obvious question. So if he's buying all the vegetables, so why does he throw it into the river? Why not give it to the anim? Give them to the anim to eat. So then what's going to happen is if this week the anim received all these vegetables from Rav Huna, they're going to expect the same thing for the next week and the following week after. And it might be that next week there's not going to be any surplus in produce. He doesn't want the ani to be samech on him, so he therefore prefer to throw it into the river. Maybe you should throw this to the animals at least. It shouldn't be about tashkis. Kesavra Michael Adamin Machin the Behema. He holds of the opinion that you shouldn't give human food to animals. Now there's a Gilyan Ashas here. I wonder what he refers to here. Quote to Magen Avraham. I'm not sure what Magen Avraham is talking about. They're probably referring, it's talking about the challah, I think. There's a Shaila in general. This comes up in the Gemara here. It's not brought down the halacha in the Shulchan Aruch Rambam, but a person shouldn't give human food to animals. Very shayach, a person has a dog. You drop some challah. I remember growing up, my parents had a dog. My family had a dog. We used to give challah to the dog all the time, and it got very excited. Whenever we heard us like Friday night washing our hands, it got very excited. Knew that meant if we were washing our hands, that we also wash during the week sometimes also. But I guess they knew with Friday night washing the hands, the challah was coming. So the dog got very, very excited. So we used to give challah to the dog. But there seems to be an issue of whether you're really allowed to give human food to an animal. Also comes up, brought down in Mishabura, giving Shabbos food to a goy as well. I'm not comparing a goy to an animal. I'm just saying there's such a concept of there is certain levels of food that goes for animals versus humans, and also special Shabbos food that's supposed to be for Jews and not for non-Jews. So then the Gemara says, so lo litvanei klal. So if he's not doing anything with the vegetables, he's throwing it into the river, so why buy it at all? Nimteis machshin la'asir lavo. That's what we said before. That he's concerned that if he doesn't buy them this week, maybe next week they're going to bring less produce to the marketplace. Kavle milsa da asusa. So when there's a matter of asusa, what does asusa mean? Of a medical or refua. I think that's what asusa means, right? I have a male kuza de maya. He would fill up a pitcher of somewhat of water. The talile besay for the besa and hang it on the back of his house. Okay. Vamar, and he would say, call to buy lesev lishka, anybody who wants, come and take. So what does Rashi explain here? Nothing. Okay. I guess he was suggesting that water was the solution to all refuah.
If he found some medicine that wasn't readily available to the public, so he would make this.
But it says mayim here. Rashi says, the Gemara says mayim. Could be. Okay, fine. Right, it could be there's a different gear here. Gemara says Havi Malik Kuza Demaya, but the Hagosa Bach here changed the Dalit. It should be of whatever it is. Okay. So then the Gemara says Ikadami. Others say Milsa the Shivsa, which is a Rashi explains Minag Shadim Shemazik in the Misha Yochel. Veinu Nolta Yada. The Gemara in Yuma, a person doesn't wash the hands in the morning Negavas and he eats food. There's a shade called Shibasa, which haunts the person. Havi Gamer Vahavi Manach. Kuza demaya v'dalile. So he would take some water and hang it in the back. This way people, I guess, would be encouraged to wash their hands in the morning. And he would say, Amar called the tzarech lisei v'leil. Anybody who wants should come and wash their hands, come into my house. Delo listak, and they shouldn't become endangered. Kavakarech rifsa. Let's see, how much further should we go? At the top of the next line of page, it looks like. Kavakarech rifsa. We need to have a hamotzi, have some bread, have a pasuk lebava. He would open up his gate, the entrance to his house. If Amar, he would say, like we say, Kol man de tzarech leisiv leichel, but we say, Erev Pesach, Leil Seder. Anybody who wants, come in and eat. So Amar Rava says, Kulo matzina mekaimna lebarmeha, de lo matzi lemeva. Rava says, I could fulfill all these different things, except for this last one, I can't say, anybody who wants, come and eat. Mishum de nafish b'nei chayla de mechuza, says Rashi in the Tab of Chafalaf, Mishum de nafshi b'nei mechuza, de ika ani atfei v'kamaychli karana. Because there's so many aniyim in the place where he lived, apparently, he didn't have the ability to support all the different aniyim. But aside for that last one, all the other things that Rav Huna was doing, says Rav, he himself was able to do. Not that he necessarily did do it, but he was able to do this as well. Okay, I'll stop here. Hashem will pick up tomorrow. I wasn't sure it was going to be with tomorrow in terms of the game, but there's no game tomorrow. So we will, Mirz Hashem, meet tomorrow again.